This is The Invisible War with evangelist and author Dr. Rob Randall. There is a bigger battle going on in the world right now than we can even see. A battle that has existed since the beginning of time. This is not a war between countries, but an all-out assault on the very soul of people everywhere. Lives are being defeated and destroyed. Marriages are falling apart at an unprecedented rate. Children are rebelling against everything they've been taught. Addictions are rampant to everything you can think of. And all of this is the result of a spiritual war, which is the invisible war. And yet, there is hope. Rob Randall is a third-generation evangelist who has devoted his life to seeing people who have come to the end of themselves find a true life of promise and healing. The Invisible War is a journey that will lead us on the road to freedom and the path of fulfillment. There are no quick fixes, only a process, but it begins with the first step. So here's Rob Randall to take us through this journey one step at a time as we find hope in the Invisible War.
Hello, this is Rob Randall. We're so grateful that you've tuned in today. Thank you for your time. We want you to know that we have been praying for you, and we're asking the Lord to be our guide. He is our guide into all truth, and it is through receiving His truth into the secret places you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Let me lead us in prayer. Now, Lord, we thank you for this study of the invisible war. We thank you for the study of your word that teaches us these eternal matters. We pray, Lord, that every hindrance would be removed, every cover, block, every thwart, every assignment that would come against us from receiving your truth that can set us free would be removed by the finger of God. May the heavens be open. May the atmosphere be clean. Lord, may our hearts be receptive for the work of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And we pray this in the mighty, matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Get your Bibles ready. You may want to have a pad and a pen so you can take good notes. Let's get to the study. Where we left off last time in the invisible war. I want us to talk now in Ephesians. After the armor is listed, it specifically deals with the importance of prayer and the armor in spiritual warfare. Now, there's much we will talk about in terms of prayer when we get to revival and the importance of prayer. But I want us to deal here in the context of the spiritual armor with prayer as a weapon. In Ephesians 6:18, it says, "With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints." There is a weapon that is necessary in spiritual warfare. It is the weapon of prayer. This too can be offensive as well as a defensive weapon in spiritual battle. Prayer is not getting God's attention. We have God's attention through Christ, who is at His right hand of God, who also intercedes for us, Romans 8:34. Prayer is not an avenue by which we can get God to do what we want or desire Him to do. Prayer is not some kind of gimmick. God cannot be manipulated to accomplish our selfish agendas. I want to say that again. God cannot be manipulated to accomplish our selfish agendas. Prayer is linking our will with the will of the Father through the union we have in Christ, through the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. I want to speak now about the issue of prayer and fasting. In Matthew 17:19-21, we find an amazing passage. "Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, 'Why could we not cast it out?' And he said to them, 'Because of the littleness of your faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it shall move. And nothing shall be impossible to you. But this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting.'" They were always able to cast out demons. They had never had a problem. The Lord had given them His authority to cast out demons, and all of a sudden they ran into a situation where the demon would not budge. They could not cast it out. And so they came to the Lord, and it says privately, they were no doubt maybe embarrassed about it, but they came to him and says, "Why could we not cast this one out? What's going on, Lord?" And he said, "If you have the faith to remove mountains, you can say to that mountain, 'Move,' and it will move. There is nothing impossible with God." Then he said, "But this kind, this particular kind of demon that you came up against can only go out by prayer and fasting. I must admit to you that when I came to fasting, I was at best confused. Those who openly talked about fasting made what I believe to be two significant errors. Number one, they talked about it openly. Matthew 6:16, Jesus teaches clearly that if you're going to fast, it should be a private matter. Shouldn't be an open matter to discuss it. And those people that I knew who practiced fasting were always talking about it. Second mistake I thought that they made was they talked as if it were a way to get into God's presence. My dear friend, listen to me. We already have access to the throne room of heaven because of the blood of the Lord Jesus. And in our union with Him, we now can come boldly into the presence of Almighty God. Listen to me. There is nothing we can do to get into God's presence. The Lord Jesus has already done it for us. And so the idea somehow that fasting gets us into the presence of God is simply bad theology and not biblical. You see, if we have to do any kind of work to get into God's presence, then Jesus died in vain. He died for us. And in our union with Christ, we have that ready access to the Heavenly Father, Ephesians 2:5-6. Well, then what is the deal about fasting? Here it is. Don't miss it. When Jesus fasted in the wilderness for 40 days, He knew He was going into battle with Satan. He was God. You know, growing up, I always believed that Jesus was bushwhacked. I guess I watched too many Saturday morning westerns. That's a good old western word, bushwhack. And I have the idea that Jesus is walking and coming down through the pass, and all of a sudden the devil just jumps out from behind a rock and he bushwhacks him, all right? That is not the case. When you look at the scriptures in Luke 4:1, Jesus was led about by the Spirit in the wilderness. This was God's doing. This was His time. This was His appointment for Jesus. This was Jesus' time to encounter the devil. You see, Jesus' encounter with the devil was no surprise. He knew what was about to happen, but Jesus was very much flesh. He was very much as much flesh as He was God. And He knew that if He was going to win the battle over the temptations of the enemy, He had to deal with His flesh first. Jesus' 40-day fast in the wilderness was His time of spiritual preparation for the truth encounter that was to take place. The desire to feed the flesh is as basic to our lives as in the flesh as it gets. To deny the flesh food, as Paul puts it, "Now to those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." Galatians 5:22. Fasting is a basic fundamental way of crucifying the flesh. Fasting is an act of putting the flesh aside so that the enemy cannot hang and hit us in the flesh. He cannot use our flesh against us in the invisible war. Let me illustrate that in my own life. As I shared with you early in the study, that all I did to come to this study is I marked every passage in the New Testament that had anything to do with the devils, demons, victory, angels, and I began to pray over these passages. We were in a big, major struggle of life and death for my son's life, and I've come to find out it was not just about my son, but it was about the very life and breath of my own family and my ministry. So the Lord told me to fast and pray for my son. There came a time when He says, you remember that verse? These kind come out only by prayer and fasting. He said, "I want you to now go into a fast and then pray." I said, "Lord, I can't do that. I don't even understand this. How can I fast when I don't even understand it? It doesn't make sense to me." He said, "I want you to fast and pray." Well, it took me a couple of weeks to finally say yes, but I did, reluctantly. ignorantly, but obediently, I fasted. I was the interim pastor of a church in Grandview, Texas, and one of the elders of the church, one of the leaders of the church, used to be one of my youth when I was a youth minister in DeSoto. And he and I had been friends for many, many years, and I said, would you stay behind tonight after services and help me pray through a matter with my son? He said, fine, I'll be glad to. So we prayed. I don't know how long it was, but it was at least an hour, maybe longer. We stayed before the Lord until the prayer burden was lifted. And there came a time when the prayer burden was lifted. And the Lord said, okay, I've heard your prayer. I'm answering your prayer. I come home that night and things began to be stirred up. My son's cleansing did not come for some time later, but things were not ever the same again after that day of fasting and prayer. Here is what I want you to understand. There are two verses that become clear as to the importance of getting the flesh out of the way in spiritual warfare. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. James 4, verse 6. Nothing will cause more humility in our lives than to put aside the desires of the flesh. Here is the eternal truth that must be grasped in the invisible war. Exalt the flesh, the devil will bring you into defeat. Submit the flesh to the purposes of God, and the devil will be defeated. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And here's the third one in Revelation 12, 11. Look at it with me. The blood of the Lamb, talking about how they overcame Satan. The blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony. They told the truth. And number three, they did not love their life even to the death. Do you see it? Look at number three. There it is. They had put aside all the desires of the flesh. They did not even care if it brought them death. When the flesh is laid aside, the enemy has nothing to work with. Not only does the Word of God in the book of Ephesians tell us to pray in the spiritual battle, but it also tells us when to pray. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times. In 1983, I had the tremendous opportunity of attending the conference for itinerant evangelists put on by the Billy Graham organization. Patty and I were able to attend it with my father and his wife at that time. We had a wonderful time. And one of the highlights was a question and answer time where those of us who were evangelists could ask Dr. Billy Graham any question we wanted. And one of the questions that came from the floor was, Dr. Graham, how many hours in a day do you pray? How much of your day is committed to prayer? He thought a moment and he said, I never stop praying. In fact, he said, I'm asking the Lord right now how to answer your question. Pray at all times. Pray all the time. The Bible tells us to pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Men ought always to pray, Luke 18:1. Pray at all times. The next admonition given here in the text concerning our prayer and spiritual warfare is pray in the Spirit. Now, what does praying in the Spirit mean? Does it mean speaking in tongues? Is it some kind of heavenly language by which we can get more done through prayer? Nowhere does the Bible teach that speaking in an unknown so-called heavenly language makes prayer more effective in the presence of God. Just because the experience is supernatural doesn't mean it is of God. We must be obedient to the admonition, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits and see whether they be from God. 1 John 4:1. I have said this in the study before. We'll say it again when we get to the revival section. Any supernatural manifestation of any kind, whether it's dreams or visions or tongues or wonders, signs, whatever it is, must be tested because man, you and I are so easily deceived. And there is a way to test the spirits and see if they be of God. No, praying in the Spirit is simply letting the Spirit of God control the time and the agenda of the prayer meeting. Let God tell you what to pray for. Let God tell you what is important to Him. Praying is not just talking. Prayer is as much listening as it is talking. Jesus said in John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice." The best biblical explanation of praying in the Spirit is found in Romans 8:26. And in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Here is the Spirit of God. Here is the picture of the Spirit of God taking over the prayer of the saints as we join together with Him that God's will be done. The next admonition in the text, pray with all perseverance. Don't be discouraged in the battle. Keep praying. Keep trusting. God always hears and answers our prayers that are prayed in the Spirit. His ways are not our ways, and His thoughts are not our thoughts, Isaiah 55, verse 9. He sees the beginning from the end. He is Alpha and Omega. His timing is always on time. My brother and sister in Christ, keep on praying. Keep on trusting. Trust God for that wayward child. Why? 2 Peter 3:9 says, "It is His will that none perish, but all might come to repentance." That means your child. That means my child. That means that grandchild. That means my grandchild. Believe the words of Jesus when He said, "Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you." Luke 11:9. Don't stop praying. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Don't stop. Our Lord promises to answer our prayers and petitions that are brought in the name and will of our Lord Jesus. The last word in the text concerning our spiritual armor, this weapon of prayer, is to pray for all the saints. Why? Because there is not a single soul in the body of Christ who is not vulnerable to the enemy's schemes of deception and destructions. No one in the church, no one in the church, no one in the church is better than anyone else. That's why we all needed to be saved. That's why we all need a Savior. Don't stop praying for every believer. We must have your prayer support. Take every piece of the armor and put it on. Walk in victory as you battle the forces of darkness. Your victory will only be found in your union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Join with Christ in the throne room of heaven through praying in the Spirit. "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Luke 22:42. I want to give you a prayer of what it means to put on the armor of God that represents each piece. My dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, my Master and Savior. I thank you that you have provided all I need to ward off the attacks of the enemy in my life through my union with Christ in the heavens. I choose to cover myself with the armor of God, which you have promised me in your word. I put on the girdle of the truth of God, however painful it may be. I choose to hear your truth, face your truth, believe your truth, trust your truth, and tell the truth. Speak to my heart that I may hear from you what I need to know and believe what you have said in your word is true. I put on the breastplate of your righteousness. All of my righteousness is filthy rags except what you have done in my life to make me right with you. I receive your working in my life to make me like Jesus. I receive the shoes that represent my willingness to readily go where you want me to go, that I may represent you and your peace to a world that does not know the peace of God. If there is any area in my life where I am not at peace with you, show me, and I will gladly confess it so that I may be cleansed. I ask you to bring into my life through the fruit of your Spirit the peace of God. And I desire, O God, to be at peace with all men. If there is someone that I need to make peace with, please let me know who it is and how best to humble myself before them that they might see Christ in me. I take up the shield of faith. Thank you that this shield is able to quench all the arrows aimed at me, dipped in the flames of hell. I praise your holy name that my victory over the enemy has been won by Christ Jesus. I do not fight this battle toward victory. I fight this war from the victory of Calvary's cross. I choose to believe that you have said in your word is true. I choose to obey you when you speak. I receive from you every provision needed for spiritual battle through the gift of your salvation. I place on my head the helmet provided for me through the shed blood of your Son. Thank you for protecting my head in this battle. I choose to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Now that I have the armor that covers my body in this battle against your enemy, I am ready to take up the sword of your Spirit, which is the Word of God. Whatever lies the enemy will hurl at me, give me from your heart your word to ward off his lies. Make the Scriptures alive in my hand and in my heart. May your word separate the lies and the workings of the enemy in every area of my life from the truth of God that is able to set me free. As I go into battle with the enemy, I go only in the union that is mine with Christ. I will pray without ceasing as you tell me how and what to pray. I will trust you to keep on praying until the answer according to your will comes. I will pray for all my brothers and sisters that you have joined with me in your body until all are set free in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I praise your mighty and holy name that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I ask or think, according to the power that works within me. I thank you that there is only one Lord, and you are He. I thank you that each piece of your spiritual armor represents Christ Jesus and my union with Him. Thank you that I am more than a conqueror through Christ who loved me and gave Himself for me. I praise your name that the battle is already won in Christ Jesus. Amen and amen.
Thank you, Rob, and we'll look forward to hearing more next time as we continue in this series on The Invisible War. The Invisible War is more than just a weekly radio program. It is a lifetime commitment to helping you become a man or woman who experiences a life of freedom and fulfillment. This only happens as you completely turn your life over to God through Jesus Christ and trust in Him to completely work in your life. There has obviously been a lot of ground that was covered today, and you may not have been able to catch everything, or you just want to hear it again. Well, we have many different options for you so you can get these valuable resources. Go to theinvisiblewar.org, and from there you'll be able to find all the books on this topic, hear today's broadcast again, a place to share your prayer request, and a ton more. So go to theinvisiblewar.org, and from there you'll find everything you need to help you on this journey. You know, it is by your faithfully standing with us that we're able to bring the invisible war to you each week by radio. Thank you for joining with us in prayer as we take this life-changing truth to the many hurting and wounded. And thank you for your financial support for the invisible war. Please give as generous a gift as you can, and we look forward to hearing from you. Call us, 877-808-8886. That's toll-free, 877-808-8886. Or go online to theinvisiblewar.org. Once again, that number, 877-808-8886. We have heard from so many of you over the last several months of how this program has ministered to your life. You have heard the incredible teaching on spiritual warfare from Dr. Randall, as well as many personal testimonies from very special guests. But we want to hear from many more of you. We would love to hear how God has transformed your life and how you have faced the enemy with boldness to conquer his destructive schemes. We want to share some of these stories of victory by reading some of them on the air, or even the possibility of having you join us as a very special guest in an upcoming broadcast. Your story may be exactly what other listeners need to hear to turn the corner and begin to apply the same valuable principles that Rob shares on a regular basis. Write your story and send it to us by email at askrob@theinvisiblewar.org. Once again, the email address is askrob@theinvisiblewar.org. Or you can send your letters to The Invisible War, P.O. Box 5, McKinney, Texas, 75070. You can also go to our website at theinvisiblewar.org and go to the Contact Us section and find an option that works best for you to send it to us. Your story of healing and victory may be just the exact message others need to hear to find the same victory in their lives. We'll be looking forward to including these incredible stories in future programs, so email us today with yours. That's askrob@theinvisiblewar.org.
Thank you for listening. We look forward to next week when we share once again the Word of God from His heart to your heart in the Invisible War.
This has been the weekly radio program called The Invisible War with Rob Randall. You don't have to live defeated, heartbroken, or in bondage to anything. Give everything you are to everything He is, and you will begin to see your life transformed into the life He has made you to be, for your sake and for everyone around you. Remember to check out theinvisiblewar.org for resources, podcast information, and just a place to let us know how to pray for you. We'll see you next time on The Invisible War.